Brittany Bernstein is a PhD candidate in the MIT Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution joint program. Michael McMahon is a local painter. When the two met, they almost immediately discovered that they'd both been sitting on the same idea. They wanted to bring artists together with ocean scientists to create a science-inspired art exhibit. So they started Synergy, an experiment in communicating science through art. They're currently coordinating 7 artist-scientist pairs with the goal of producing an exhibit by the end of this year. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're an artist whose work portrays scientific concepts or a scientist whose research has been the subject of artwork, we'd love to hear about your experiences. You can join the conversation by calling 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Or email us at livinglabradio@wgbh.org. You can also send us a tweet at livinglabradio. Michael, Whitney, you guys call Synergy, in quotes, an experiment in communicating science through art. Now, I wonder if you could explain a little of what that means to you guys, because I think typically when we talk about communicating science, what comes to mind for people is getting across the facts and figures accurately. And I think for you guys, communicating science through art means something very different than just, you know, putting some graphic design around numbers to make it look pretty. It's something different to you guys.
Yes. We're really interested in, when I think about communication of science, I really want to get people engaged with science and create an access point to science. I think that that it's just important to allow people to better understand how science is done, or to get people excited about what kind of science is being done. And so so that's one of the goals of Synergy, is really to get people to start to discuss these ideas around oceanography, or to pique their interest and get people more involved in the oceanography that is going around locally here.
Well, for me, art has always been about communication, and it's important that people be able to, you know, take in what they see visually. What brought us into the area of science is something I've always been interested in, and to communicate that, it's for me personally, there's been this, you know, almost pervasive, stagnant feeling where people kind of view artists and scientists as something outside of themselves. It gets away from, you know, your day-to-day lives. You know, it's, and even within art for myself, there's also this view that, you know, it's very difficult to do anything new. And I thought, what an interesting format, because new things are always being discovered in science and art. And, you know, art being the great communicator, why not use that to highlight what's happening, especially in this community? And I've always felt that, you know, people looked at science as, you know, stuffy people in white lab coats, and artists as, you know, people that you couldn't really talk to because they were very, you know, running around in a big long coat that was similar to a lab coat, you know, doing things that you never understood. And it's really, really not the case. They're both, you know, people in different areas that work very, very hard. And it's a little difficult to communicate exactly what you do because it's a little removed from people's everyday lives, especially in communities like this.
Yeah, and I like how Mikey said about art being the great communicator. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to connect art and science, and thought art would be a great way to better communicate science, because art can convey like large, expansive ideas and intangible ideas. And so,
well, and art actually, I mean, at least to me, art always seems to have a much more emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that a lot of people don't have to science. And it's maybe a little counterintuitive that you would be able to mix these two. You know, are you trying to create an emotional connection to science when you do this? Or
yeah,
is it?
Well, for me, when I experience art, oftentimes there's an emotional effect that happens when, you know, I'm in a gallery and I see a piece of artwork and I respond to it emotionally. But also there's a lot of art that I experience that just stimulates my curiosity or gets me talking to the person next to me. Oh, what do you think about this? And, oh, what do you think they're trying to get at with this piece of artwork? And so art, I think, not only just touches you emotionally, but also touches you very deeply intellectually. And can really generate and stimulate a lot of conversation and dialogue. So that's kind of something that we're going for here with this conceptual art. And we chose our artists in that way. because we thought that they would be able to capture these larger ideas.
So let's talk a little bit about who the artists are that are in this project. You guys put out, and I should say that Michael, you're not one of the artists,
and Whitney,
you're not one of the scientists.
Nope.
Actually, you guys are only involved as coordinators, not as I guess ground level participants.
We're our
in this.
Own collaboration, the two of us,
your own scientist artist pair, but working on a different level. But you guys put out a call for applications, essentially to artists, and got what 40, 50, a good number of applications,
probably closer to 100, and they just kept coming and coming and coming, even after the date we had set for, you know, the shutoff date. And, you know, our initial thoughts were when we put out the thing and it was a slow trickle at the beginning, and then the dam opened and, you know, all of our fears quickly disappeared about people's interest in it. And what we really, really look for in the project from the artists that applied was the one thing that we were very careful about was we wanted interpretive work. We didn't want illustration. Which, you know, and a lot of the applicants, we got a beautiful, amazing work. We had amazing applicants. We had a huge pool to choose from. So one of the really important things we wanted from the artists was why they were interested in the project. We looked at the portfolios, the quality of their work, and, you know, that was so difficult. So many people had so much amazing stuff. But what really put the artists that we have with the project is that they wrote to us and explained their interest in it. And, you know, they really came in line with what we wanted out of the project. One of our artists, she already works taking scientific data from the Gulf of Maine using very primitive measurement techniques and stuff like that. And back to what you were saying earlier about art being, you know, a good method of communication, you look at raw data and stuff like that, and, you know, it could instantly turn you off because, like, oh, I'm looking at numbers. It's not really saying anything to me about the Gulf of Maine. I don't feel anything about this. Therefore, you're not personally connected to it. So, you know, and that's one thing about science, too, is you should be personally connected because it's about the environment. It's about the world. Every single day we live in this world, and it's the only one we have, and so much stuff that's really important because of the way it's presented is dismissive because you don't connect with it. Whereas Natalie, what she does is she creates art using basket weaving. So she takes data, and then that data decides for her what direction she will weave. And she creates these amazing three-dimensional colorful sculptures, which she has now actually taken and had people take the scientific data, which she has translated, and she's had it, her sculptures turned into piano music. And,
wow.
You know, just the idea of that visual metaphor and that being able to hear it, you know, with music as much as with art, it's, you know, it's amazing. It just gets right to the heart of people. And, you know, it can connect with you even if you don't even know where those sounds are coming from.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've talked about, I mean, I think, you know, both scientists and artists are at the most fundamental level, trying to understand and interpret in some way the world around us. But you've talked about, Michael, about you feel like when you're painting, it's almost a process of translation.
Yes.
You're translating reality into art. And I think that's a bit different than what scientists were saying they're doing. But you also say that it's not just a completely free-flowing creative thing, that it's a very technical and disciplined process. So there are some similarities, I guess, in the way that scientists and artists are actually going about their business.
Yes. You know, that was one of the attractions for me for the project was, you know, years ago when, you know, I was introduced to this community and met many scientists. And I had that same idea that everybody else had. It's like, oh, you just hang out in lab coats and put stuff in vials and that's what your day is. And it's wonderful. And the results come out and everybody applauds. And everybody had the same view as artists that just, oh, you just go and paint and it's magical and everybody applauds. And it's, you know, it's really a hard fought process for scientists and artists to bring their work to completion. And, you know, it's you create a hypothesis and try and work at it. And sometimes you fail over and over again. And hopefully at the end of the day, you get something out of it. So, you know, they're both very difficult processes, of course, very difficult work.
So I'm curious, some of the paintings that you've done that have been some of your most popular are actually of whale or dolphin necropsies. So basically autopsies of these large marine mammals. That's not something, having seen a few myself, it's not a typically a pretty process necessarily, or what you would think of as pretty. You're cutting up an animal. How did you get drawn to that as a subject for painting, for art?
It was, you know, I was talking to somebody who worked for the Cape Cod Stranding Network, and they were telling me, just like, oh, tomorrow I have to go do a necropsy, and I had them explain to me what it was. I'm like, so you're going to go find out what happened to these animals and stuff like that? Because, you know, look at the last year, the amount of strandings that have come up on Cape Cod, and, you know, people should be aware of these things. So I said, you're going to go find out, you know, by cutting this thing up and doing that. And, you know, it's like, I thought that was really interesting. And I'm like, I just found out that this kind of stuff goes on. I'm like, but nobody knows about this kind of thing. You know, it's really amazing work. And I'm like, can I come and paint and document it in my own way? And, you know, I really just wanted to see the process. And so it went from there, and I've been back quite a few times. And, you know, people actually find them quite fascinating. You know, it's, you take something that, you know, people are listening right now. They're like, oh my God, cutting dead animals, that's very gross to be looking at and stuff like that. But, you know, when you translate all that over to a painting, you know, people look at it and they're like, wow, that's amazing. And they just start looking at the colors and the representation. And I think they start to see my interest in the painting.
Yeah, I think what Mikey was saying about process, I think, is a really interesting aspect of synergy. The process that the artists go through and the process that they follow to create their artwork, the thought process, how they begin with an idea, and then how they'll wrestle with that idea in order to come up with some product in the end, whether it be a painting or a sculpture. And then on a parallel line, what kind of process the scientists follow with starting with this idea or this question, and their way of investigating that question, and where does the creativity come in along that path? The scientists will gather these data and then, you know, seek to find some interpretation of those data, and that's really where a lot of the science comes in. Is really trying to understand and have new insights about the natural world using those data that you've and those observations. So you observe the world and then you try to make sense of it. And I think that takes a lot of creativity. Like when I was studying abroad in Tahiti once, and my professor took us to the top of a mountain, and we looked down on Moorea, which is right next to Tahiti, and you can see the island rising up out of the ocean. You can see the coral reef surrounding that ocean, and he was just explaining how you can see the process of how these islands form. And he said when Darwin visited Tahiti and saw the island, that's how this concept of island formation came about, because he was able to visually see seeing one picture in place. Right. He was able to see process through time. And I thought that was really interesting, and that takes a lot of creativity and a lot of visualization in your mind. And that happens a lot with observations and coming to new insights. And that's why I think it's super interesting to bring these artists and scientists together, because when you're having a conversation about your work and trying to explain why it's irrelevant or why it's important to society, you can have new insights about that work as well. And I think that I hope and I expect that there'll be insights on the parts of the scientists and the part of the artist as they go through this collaboration and they share these processes together. So
I'm talking with Whitney Bernstein and Michael McMahon, founders of Synergy, an experiment in communicating science through art. You can join our conversation by calling 866-999-4626, or you can email us at livinglabradio@wgbh.org. You can also send us a tweet at Living Lab Radio. It sounds like this could be a real learning process for the scientists and artists that have been paired up, really learning about each other's process and the seven artists that are involved, how much experience, I know you said Natalie actually does this on a regular basis, mm-hmm. uses data sets, but how much have these artists already had contact with other scientists to kind of have that understanding, or how much is this a new process or new experience for the artists?
For many, it's a new experience, but a long time interest. And just to point out, since I think we last talked, we expanded just slightly. So now we're up to eight artists and scientist pairs. But as I was saying earlier, we really went on the enthusiasm of the artists when they were applying and what they wrote about how they were interested. But you also got a sense that it was part of, you know, their process over a long time. Like one of our artists, Anastasia, she does jewelry and sculpture. But it the really interesting about her sculpture is she talks about environmental impact in her sculpture. I mean, you see the jewelry, it's amazing. Everybody that's seen it so far that we've been involved is like, oh my God, I want one of those.
These beautiful geometric forms, yeah. But, very fluid.
Yeah, her sculptures are formed out of monofilament that has a shelf life of 5 years. So after 5 years, they won't exist anymore.
Wow.
So, you know, it was a really interesting take on it. And she's working with Larry Pratt, who does like chaos theory and ocean mixing. And just looking at her work and his work and, you know, just the visualizations in both, you're like, oh my God, they're so perfect together. You know, it's like, you know, she's going to do amazing stuff with that work. And,
yeah, Larry's doing some interesting, he's been working a lot with artists, actually. So you asked about whether the artists have experience working with scientists.
And right, I would say the opposite.
Do,
probably
some
most
don't,
scientists
lot...
have not had contact with artists, at least in this kind of professional collaboration sort of situation.
It was interesting when we asked the scientists to come and meet the artists so we could do some pairing. We had about 25 artists or 25 scientists come in, and they had a range of, you know, some people had never worked with an artist before and thought, wow, okay, what's going on? What's this thing? And I think I might want to be part of it. And, you know, it sounds like a neat kind of thing to do alongside my work. But some of them are artists themselves, and some of them have worked with artists. And Larry Pratt happens to be a photographer himself, but he's also working with dancers right now to interpret the physical oceanography through dance movement. And he himself is learning how to dance in order to better collaborate with these dancers. And so now he's also doing this work with Anastasia Azur and creating then these sculptures. And that will be the sculptures will be part of Synergy. But he is one of the people who's very involved in art already, whereas some people have never worked with art at all. And so it's nice to have a spectrum of experience.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, it would be easy to think, okay, well, what do the scientists get out of this? They get, you know, their 15 minutes of fame that their research gets to be portrayed in an art exhibit or that kind of thing. But it sounds like actually the scientists are probably getting a lot more out of it in terms of maybe even changing the way they think about their own science. Getting this very different perspective on their mm-hmm. science could actually change the way that they do things.
Yeah. The goal of Synergy is not just the end product that you might see in the gallery, but it's also the process of collaboration. And so we're really interested in building meaningful collaborations, bringing in creative thinkers together in like a creative collision of thinkers and helping them have meaningful experiences and learn from one another.
Well, and I think you mentioned this before, Michael, that I mean, you had a huge groundswell of interest in this, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm curious just how you found the 100 or so artists. Where do you put out a call to find artists that are interested in science?
We brainstormed and ended up emailing colleges, art associations, anything we could think of to put it out there. And within the first week or something like that, those institutions started emailing it out to other people. You know, we had interest from the Museum School in Boston, UMass Dartmouth's Art School, the CVPA, Cape Cod Art Association, just to name a few. And it spread rapidly. And at one point I was getting emails from a blog in New York about mm-hmm. it was an environmental art blog that, you know, they had interest in it too. And they had heard
it
from...
We had an applicant from San Francisco.
Wow. I mean, most of the artists actually working in the project are from around New England, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all from kind of the same area, but it seems like this would also be a really neat opportunity for them to meet each other. These artists mm-hmm. who have this similar interest, but mm-hmm. might not necessarily... Because they work in all different media. I mean, as you said,
yes.
you've got a sculptor,
a
and you have a,
mm-hmm.
like a photographer and a basket weaver and a, I think, a bookmaker and, you know, all sorts of different. So they might not necessarily come into contact with each other outside of this. And it seems like it would be a neat opportunity for the artists to meet each other as well.
Well, so far, one of the most rewarding things that's happened for us is that in May, when we had our meeting with all the artists and scientists, and, you know, we worked so hard to get to that point, and we were terribly nervous that on the day everything was going to blow up in our face and nobody would like each other and the artists would hate the scientists and it just wouldn't work. And the almost childlike wonder that we saw on everybody's faces as they toured the labs in Woods Hole. And I remember Brian McFarlane at one point, who's a painter who is working with Jill McDermott, who studies deep sea
hydrothermal vents.
Hydrothermal vents, ended up coming back from a lab, and I was like, "How's things?" He's like, "I just got to saw tube worms from the bottom of the ocean," and he was, you know, running around excited, and you know, it was, you know, and the scientists and artists were just so excited with the personalities they were bumping into that day, and we thought, you know, at that point we were like, "Oh, everybody's enjoying this, and we feel that the collaboration is going to be really interesting and amazing." Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Dana is calling us from Wellfleet. Good morning, Dana.
Morning. I've done something with music and a scientific theory. I went to a colloquium at MIT on a certain way of a new theory of star formation. I won't get into the details because I couldn't completely follow it, especially with a calculus involved. But I wrote a bluegrass song about it called Dampen Lyman Systems, and it kind of spells out some of the, not so much the data, but the theory itself, and, you know, like, about how gases collapsed around a loop of gravity years ago, and then stars could, you know, and then they could discern distant stars that they couldn't see with the current technology. They could infer the chemical composition of these stars and how old they were.
Dana, have you played that bluegrass song for other people, and what have their responses been?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, people like it. I don't know if it enlightens anyone scientifically, but people just thought it was fun. I mean, I've played it in recital. I was hoping to get a local bluegrass band to play it, but they didn't pick it up. And because I really had a real bluegrass sound in mind. I don't know why, but a four-part harmony kind of bluegrass, you know, talking about this theory and how just doing a little calculus will, you know, which is totally over my head. I don't understand calculus at all. But
Well, Dana, thank you for calling and sharing your experience.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
I'm curious, you guys, this is a really interesting process. It sounds like an evolution for both the artists and the scientists. Are you documenting this process in any way?
Yes, actually, we just have an exciting new collaboration that we're bringing into the project. We're having Ari Shapiro, a journalist who also graduated from my graduate program, MIT and Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and Amanda Kowalski, who is a videographer, and they're going to document the process and the collaboration. And so they're going to throughout the next few months, interview each of the pairs. Just come when, you know, when the pairs meet, the artists and scientists meet in the lab or in the studio, Ari and Amanda will go there and kind of listen in on their conversation, ask them some questions, and create some profiles about each of these pairs. And so that will be available on the Synergy website, and also on the website for the end exhibition, which we're talking to the Museum of Science right now. And the Museum of Science is interested in showing this exhibition in around January, and they'll be showing it for a few months. And so so that will be some extra media that you can, by which you can engage with the art, either in the exhibition, you can watch it, or afterwards on the website.
So he's going to document it. What is the website so that people can go and find that and check everything out?
Well, we'd like to put the URL on, we can put a link on the NPR website.
Yeah.
And because the URL right now, it's not really clear, like I can't, you know, it's not synergy.org. edu or like right. .hui.edu.
Yeah, no, the link will definitely
but
be
I'll, I think
on,
it'll be better to just provide our, the
right.
the
so
link.
We'll put a link on Living Lab Radio website, which is wgbh.org/livinglabradio, or you can go to capeandislands.org and click on Living Lab Radio and find more of that information there.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because it's not quite ready yet.
I mean, this all takes a huge amount of work from you guys. Obviously, there's a lot of effort coming in from the artists and scientists that are producing the actual artwork, but you guys just to coordinate, to find the artist, to find the scientist, coordinate these events where they meet each other, to coordinate the documentation and actually the exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys getting paid at all for any of this, or is this just something you're doing on the side out of the love of it?
Something on the side out of the love of it. We bumped into each other in January and ended up, you know, basically Whitney came to me and she's like, I've got this idea, you know, and she's like, you're an artist. And I said, oh my God, that's almost the carbon copy of my idea that I've been running around in my head for the last few years. And we just went from it from there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've just been, you know, trying to get this project done on a shoestring budget and see what we can do.
Yeah.
And
are
so
you gonna,
far it's been very
are you
going to
do it again? I mean, this is you're doing putting together one exhibit this year. Are you planning to make this a multi-year thing, or is this once is enough?
Well, it's a huge effort, and it's wonderful, and I love doing it, and it really inspires me. You know, as Michael said, like the day when we brought the artists and scientists together, and the you know they would come up to me and say, "Wow, this was such a meaningful experience for me. Wow, this was so much fun." Like that just made it all worth it, you know. But for the future, I think that to continue doing this, we would. You know, we envision bringing together like a larger team of people, and we would also need to find like the appropriate funding for the project. Right now, we're so incredibly grateful to have the support from MIT and Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. So I just wanted to say that you know when back in you know last fall when we first came up with this idea, we I put an application to MIT, and so MIT is funding the program. So we're really very grateful to MIT and Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution for their support.
Great. Well, Whitney Bernstein is a PhD candidate in the MIT Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution joint program. Michael McMahon is a local artist. Together, they are the coordinators of Synergy, an experiment in communicating science through art. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Heather.
The conversation about science and art continues on our website. Go to capeandislands.org and click on Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone, and thanks for listening.
Living Lab On The Point is produced by Heather Goldstone. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Steve Junker and Jenny Junker. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.